Please join me in Gassho. Buddha nature is great Shinjin. Why? Because through Shinjin, the Mahasattva Bodhisattva has acquired all the paramitas, from charity to wisdom. All sentient beings will without fail ultimately realize great Shinjin. Therefore it is taught all sentient beings are possessed of Buddha nature. Great Shinjin is none other than the Buddha nature. Buddha nature is Tathagata. Busho dai shinjin というのである。なぜかというと、菩薩はこの信心によって六波羅蜜の行を身に備えることができるのである。すべての修行はついに必ず大信心を得るから、すべての修行にことごとく仏性があると説いたのである。大信心は仏性であり、仏性はそのまま如来であると。南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏。Oh, it's wonderful to see all of you here. As always, with our services, I welcome you to turn on your camera if you wish. I know sometimes different meetings and things, folks are encouraged to switch off their cameras. It's always nice for me to see everybody's faces on the screen here. It makes me feel like you're all here with me in the hondo. Of course, you're with me in your hearts and minds today as we reflect upon and continue our journey in the six paramitas. Today we'll be talking about Kshanti, the third of the six, which is the virtue of patience. Patience is, for many of us, for me at least, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me at least, is among the six, perhaps the most difficult and the most challenging, both patience with myself and patience with others. And so I want to begin by talking about what is it that we mean by patience in Buddhism, and particularly in the Mahayana Buddhist tradition, in which we really look to the six paramitas as our guide. And so in Buddhism, in Mahayana Buddhism, there are three aspects are described as being parts of patience, three things that a patient person does. So first, not getting annoyed, not getting angry in the first place. And if something annoying and irritating happens, not to have anger come up in the first place, okay? Then, if anger should come up, not to cling on to it, not to hold grudges. So if you get angry, don't hold on to that anger, right? Just let it come up and then let it flow away. And then the final one is, even if that anger comes up in your heart and it lingers and it stays and you just can't somehow get rid of it, not to let that anger change your heart so that you begin to bear ill will toward others. Not to let anger change your heart so that it affects your relationship with someone, so that you stop liking them, or it really brings you down and kind of ruins your day, right? So how does our mind need to change? Because I know this isn't the way that my mind works, right? So what does my mind need to do? How does my mind need to change in order for me to be able to practice patience in this way, right? In order to perfect this mind of patience, we need to first to let go of this idea that we are separate from others, that I exist and other people exist out there separately, right? And this is also the mind that distinguishes between good and bad, like and dislike. To become free of this mind is to realize this virtue of patience. Not easy for me at least. And so in order to do this, in order to have this change of mind, there are three things that you need to be able to do. One is if somebody does something annoying to you, somebody does something that bothers you, to be able to tolerate that, to be able to kind of put up with the little annoyances and maybe sometimes even the big annoyances in life. Another thing that's important is to be able to accept that these things that happen are part of my life, not to push them away, not to deny that they exist, but to be able to accept, yes, this is my life right now. For example, right now, all of us are having to take great care for going into now our fourth and fifth month of living under these very important and very rigid guidelines. Things like wearing masks, keeping social distance, because this is part of our life. This coronavirus is here, alive in our community. And so in order to be patient and make it through this time that we all have to do working together, we have to be able to accept, this is my life right now, and it's okay. It's not what I would like, it's not what I would prefer, but this is my life, right? And then finally, to be able to see what is true and to recognize, to look with insight into situations helps us to be more patient, right? So I need to let go of my idea of me and mine, that things need to go according to my agenda in order for everything to be smooth and for everything to be happy, right? So I want to talk now kind of concretely about how I experience this in my own life. I think sometimes it's most difficult to be patient with the people that we spend the most time with, right? If you only see someone once in a while, they do something that's a little bit annoying, doesn't get on your nerves quite as much as the little annoying or sometimes the big annoying things that people you live with every day, right? I think this is particularly amplified in our present moment when we're spending so much time at home with If we don't live alone, if we live with our partners or family members or brothers and sisters or parents or children, we might be finding that these days, the things that in the past were just not such a big deal now are becoming more and more difficult to put up with. When I was a kid growing up, I was an only child. And we lived in Minnesota. I lived out in the countryside. So all of the houses out there are pretty spacious. It was just me and my parents. And so we all kind of had our own space. I had my own bathroom. I had my own bedroom in the house. And so I felt like, you know, generally, if I just wanted to be alone, if I wanted my space, I could go off and enjoy my space. And it made it easier to be patient in a lot of ways. I started to really experience challenges with patients living with other people when I went off to college for the first time. I went and I lived in a dormitory. And in the dormitory, I didn't have my own room. I had a roommate and I didn't have my own bathroom. There was a shared common bathroom with a row of sinks on two sides and shared kind of shower space. There were individual stalls, but everything was kind of, all together shared. And so I didn't have that privacy that I enjoyed growing up. And one of the times that I particularly missed that was at night when I was getting ready for bed, because there was somebody in the dorm named Chip. And Chip was somebody who kind of got on my nerves, because Chip was somebody who would, whenever I was getting ready for bed, brushing my teeth, washing my face, doing my bedtime ritual. I think we all probably have our bedtime routines. Maybe we floss first, then we brush, or we brush first, then we floss. But Chip would always come over and stand right next to me, and he would observe my way of doing things, my bedtime ritual, something that had up until this point in my life been my most private time. You know, when I was in the bathroom getting ready, and now I had somebody who I didn't even know, who just happened to be living in this same building, who would stand next to me and observe, just watch me washing my face, and then comment. He would make comments about, oh, you use that kind of soap? You should try this other kind of soap. It really works much better. Right? Oh, that's how you brush your teeth? You know, you're supposed to make little circles, right? He's making all these comments about how I'm supposed to floss my teeth, how I'm supposed to brush my teeth, what kind of soap I should use. And it just drove me nuts. And it got to the point where I couldn't let go of the annoyance. The first couple of times I did, I thought, it's kind of weird. That's a little bit annoying. I wish he'd stop that. But it continued for months and months. And it got to be the point where I would just hear him. He would sing. He would walk down the hall singing songs. He would sing songs like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. So I'd hear his voice echoing down the hallway, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. I'd be in my room studying and I would hear Chip's voice and I'd go, oh, Chip. And my friends started to notice it. They would say, Henry, you're a pretty calm guy, but I've noticed that Chip really gets on your nerves. And I would just go, oh, Chip, don't even say his name around me. Right? So annoyed with Chip. And then second semester, so that was the first semester. And then second semester, I showed up to my English composition class. You know, we were required to take a class learning how to write essays. I showed up, and who was in the class with his big goofy grin? But Chip was in my class. It's like, oh man, now I have to see him three times a week in a class, right? So these things that Chip had done, first, they started to annoy me and bother me. And then they started to really kind of make me angry to the point where I couldn't let go of it. After I'd washed my face and even after I went back to my room and Chip wasn't there anymore, I still had this anger in my heart. I'm still clinging on to it, right? And then I clinged on to it and I didn't let go of it so that it changed my relationship with Chip. So even when I saw him in a completely different situation, we weren't in the dormitory, we weren't in the bathroom, I wasn't washing my face and brushing my teeth. I was in a completely different situation, but I saw him and just seeing him, oh, I got annoyed again, right? So in this way, the anger had come to poison my mind, had poisoned my relationship with Chip because I wasn't able to be kind to him. You know, I was rude. I was abrupt. When he asked me a question, I would just give him a really short, kind of snippy answer because I had this anger that was holding on to me in my heart, right? And it wasn't making me happy. It was making me unhappy. It was ruining my class. It was ruining my day sometimes, right? And it wasn't helping Chip either because I know even though he was a kind and patient person, I'm sure that I said and did things that hurt his feelings. When I look back on it now, I realize how mistaken my thinking was. Because if I think about it now, as we all went off to college, we went and left our homes, went away from our families, different people dealt with that in different ways. For me, I had spent the previous year living far away from my family as an exchange student in India, right? So for me, I felt like I was, you know, back in a familiar setting. For Chip, that was his first time ever living away from home, right? He was just trying to make friends. Maybe not in the most skillful way, but I realized now he wasn't being mean. He was trying to be friendly. He was trying to strike up a conversation, right? And so it was my own selfish thinking that poisoned this relationship. You know, as time went on, I began to appreciate that and matured. And, you know, it was a small school, so I continued to see Chip. And by the end of my 4 years in college, you know, Chip and I had a much more cordial relationship. But my own immaturity early on, my own self-centered thinking, caused me a lot of stress that was really unnecessary because I was not able to be patient. I was not able to practice this virtue of patience in the six paramitas. So how do we do that? It's so hard. You know, even today, there are things that annoy me. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's things. You know, I'm losing patience with shelter in place. When we got the announcement earlier this month that schools would be full-time distance learning, you know, I was thinking, oh, you know, I want my kids to be able to go to school and have fun with their classmates, but it's not safe at this time. I'm losing patience, right? But I need to see clearly, look clearly into the situation and recognize that there are things that we need to do to keep everyone safe. There are ways that we can set aside our own anger and annoyance and frustration, treat people with kindness nonetheless, to show patience, forbearance, kindness. And that in that way, that our lives become more harmonious, our world and our community becomes more harmonious. It's difficult. It's not easy. And the Buddha recognized this. He said, people have a natural tendency to cling to their greed, their anger, their ignorance. How can they become free of, we call these three poisons? It's very difficult. And so the Buddha, in boundless compassion, provided a teaching. He said, trust in me, trust in the wisdom of my teachings. Listen to these teachings in a way that you recognize that these are talking about your life. When you hear the teachings in this way, then trust that they will be your guide. And if you have that sense of trusting that these teachings will carry you over to the other shore, that they will carry you from this life of difficulty, suffering, frustration, annoyance, fighting, anger, over to a life of peace and bliss. And you have that deep sense of feeling, say, Namo Amida Butsu, to express your joy and gratitude. And you can say these words moment to moment throughout your life. When you say Namo Amida Butsu, your mind changes. It shifts from thinking about me and mine to thinking about the Buddha. My normal way of thinking is that if I do something that somebody else gets angry about, that it's their fault. They shouldn't be so sensitive. They shouldn't be so touchy. If someone else does something that angers me, my way of thinking is, that person, really, that is inexcusable. They should not have done that thing. That was so bad, right? So it's always my perspective that comes first. Unless I hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, and really hear them in my heart. So my mind shifts and I look at the world from the perspective of the Buddha. When I do that, I see how the things that I do affect other people. And I realize people are very, very patient with me. My children, my wife, my other people in my life, all of you, so many people. I do things throughout the day that are foolish and unwise. So many people are kind and supporting me, teaching me, showing me the way forward. I'm constantly supported by boundless wisdom and compassion. And then when I think in that way, all of a sudden, this practice of patience becomes much easier. And so that's why Shinran Shonin says in these words I read at the start of my talk, that great Shinjin, this entrusting in the Buddha's teachings, will guide all of us to the life of peace and bliss, will ultimately make all of us Buddhas someday. And so we know that right now in this moment that we're being guided and supported. And so in this moment, our heart changes. We say, Namo Amida Butsu, out of joy and gratitude. So when we have trouble practicing patience, we just need to open our ears and hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, and think about our minds. Think about, do I need to get angry about this? If I'm angry, do I need to hold on to that anger? Can I let it go? And if I just can't let go of that anger, should I really let it change my relationships, change my way of living, and ruin my day? If we can learn to hear the wisdom of the Buddha, to practice patience in the way that the Buddha wishes for us to do in the six paramitas, we find that our path is settled on this journey to the world of peace and bliss, and that one day we will realize complete liberation. And how joyful, in the words, Namo Amida. So I'll conclude at this time. Once again, let's return and reflect upon these words of Shinran Shonin. Please join me in Gassho. Buddha nature is great Shinjin. Why? Because through Shinjin, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva has acquired all the paramitas, from charity to wisdom. All sentient beings will, without fail, ultimately realize great Shinjin. Therefore, it is taught, all sentient beings are possessed of Buddha nature. Great Shinjin is none other than Buddha nature. Buddha nature is Tathagata. Bushō wo dai shinjin tōyū no dearu. Naze ka tōyū to, bōsatsu wa kono shinjin niyotte roppara mitsu no gyō wo 身に備えることができるのである。すべての衆生はついに必ず大信心を得るから、すべての衆生にことごとく仏性があると説いたのである。大信心は仏性であり、仏性はそのまま如来であると。南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏。